Well, it is time for us to open our Bibles this morning. I hope you're excited to do that. I know I am. This book is filled with treasures. And we find those treasures in the Old Testament. We find them in the New Testament. This is a book filled with treasures. And the more you read it, the more you can absorb, the more you can learn, the more you can know of the ways of God. I am so thankful that we have this. This is a privilege and an honor because even during the time of the New Testament church, they didn't have this complete book yet, that early Christian church, but we are so blessed to have the whole thing from Genesis to Revelation because, like I said, there are treasures in every book of the Bible. I'm calling this message today The Light of the World. And we're going to be opening to the book of Isaiah chapter 40 to begin with for just a few verses. But before we read even one verse, we do need to pray, so let's do that right now. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for all that thou hast shown us already, and we pray, Lord, that thou would continue to reveal thyself further and deeper to us so that we may know thee better and better. We seek to be as close to thee as we possibly can, for we know that without thee we have no hope. We know that we live in a lost and dying world, and we know that we need thy light shining in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that thou would inspire us, O God, to draw nigh to thee. Inspire us, O God, to be obedient to thy scriptures and help us to be firmly focused on thee and thy word as we open this precious book. We pray that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that thou art sovereign, thou art almighty God. There is none like thee, there is none beside thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, we might feel rather insignificant at times, because we live in this big world, which is part of a bigger universe, a universe that scientists are still trying to measure and haven't been able to. They probably never will be able to measure the whole thing. They hypothesize on how big they think it is, and they try to figure these things out, you know. But here we are in the middle of space on a floating rock, put exactly where it needs to be because God's power put this floating rock exactly where it needs to be. He designed it with care, each and everything that is on it. He, of course, is far greater than any of us ever could be. It's a big world, and it's a big universe, and just recently, they say that the eighth billionth person was born in this world. So in other words, there are now 8 billion people in the world today, and that number continues to grow. Of course, that is actually only happening in a few select portions of this world, and I saw on the news the other day that for the first time ever in recent history, China's population dropped. And that's a trend that is expected to continue. Now, right now, they have the most people in the world. But India is rapidly catching up to them. And actually, even though the population is still growing in this world, it's highly concentrated in Asia, India, and Africa. That is where population is growing. And the only reason the population in the United States goes up is because of migrants. Did you know that? Yeah. Because people in this country aren't having enough babies to repopulate this country. It's because of migrants. That's the only reason the population is even growing in the United States. However, there are a lot of people in this world. And right now, there are a lot of people in this country. There are 334 million people in the United States, approximately. There are 5.9 million people in the state of Wisconsin. In the city of Beaver Dam, there are 16,000 people, which may not seem like much if you're from a larger city, but even just being one among 16,000 is enough to make you feel small if you were in the presence of all 16,000 of them. And sometimes we feel rather small and insignificant. We need to remember that, yes, we are very, very small. In fact, scientists figured this out. They did a comprehensive study of the weight of everything in the world. Everything in the world. They did some mathematical equations to figure it out, and they determined that all people on the world, all 8 billion of them, account for only 0.01% of the Earth's biomass. 0.01%. So, bearing that in mind, what we're about to read in Isaiah chapter 40 is going to make a lot of sense. Isaiah chapter 40, starting with verse 15, tells us, "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing." Isaiah the prophet here, he's drawing attention to the fact that God is far greater than we are. And what he's saying here, and of course he wasn't privy to these scientific studies they do nowadays, but he still had the insight because of the Spirit of God working in him. He had the insight that all of the nations, everyone, is as a drop of a bucket and counted as the small dust of the balance. Everybody. Verse 16, "And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering." Highly regarded Lebanon, famous for their cedars. What he's saying here, in the sight of God, it's so insignificant that even with all of their cedar trees, it's not sufficient to burn. It's a very small thing compared to the greatness and the vastness of God. Verse 17, "All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him?" Our God is incomparable to anything else in this world, because nothing can compare to the greatness and the vastness of our God. Verse 19, "The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains." People want to have a God that they can reach out and touch and that they can look at. So sometimes, foolishly, and they still do this today, they will try to make their own gods. You know, the scriptures tell us that we are created in his image. And what they like to do is they'd like to try to create gods in their image. But these things are powerless. They are worthless. These idols, these statues, these graven images, worthless. They can't save you. They can do nothing for you. And yet, people have these things and they place so much regard on them. Verse 20, "He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. That's right, the round earth. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. It's amazing to think that in the eyes of God, we are as grasshoppers. Grasshoppers aren't considered very significant, are they? So small. And people probably don't think about grasshoppers very much. I mean, how many times in a day do you think about grasshoppers? You might occasionally, especially if you hear some out there. But chances are you don't spend very much of your day thinking about grasshoppers. And yet we are like grasshoppers in the eyes of God. But what's truly amazing about that is he does think about us.
Yes, thank you.
And he does value us. In fact, Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 through 31 tells us, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fail, not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows."
Yes, praise God.
God attributes value to the sparrows too. He loves the little sparrows. And if he loves the little sparrows, just imagine how much he loves us. Even though we are insignificant and like grasshoppers, in the eyes of God, he takes the time to know his grasshoppers.
Praise our God.
In fact, he takes the time to have a personal relationship with his grasshoppers. You might wonder, you know, I feel so small sometimes in this world. And then you start thinking about the other planets, the vastness of the universe, all the stars. And it just makes you feel even smaller. And you can go to places like the Grand Canyon. I've been there, and you will feel tiny as you look out and you look down and you look around. You will feel so small. And yet, each Christian, each child of God is very important to our Savior. Each child of God has a role to play in the kingdom. Of course, we know that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. He came to show us the way, and he came to reveal to us the light. Let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. As we go along, I am going to tell you what your special mission is in life. Did you know that you have a special mission? We all do. And I'm going to tell you what it is a little later. But right now, I want to talk about Jesus, who is the light of the world. John chapter 1, and starting in verse 1, it tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Notice here, it tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What does it mean by Word there? Who is it talking about when it says Word? It's talking about Jesus Christ. In fact, we're going to see that in this very chapter. It's going to make it abundantly clear that it's talking about Jesus. Verse 2, "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." People don't think about it sometimes, but it tells us, scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ is the creator. Verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." He came. Why did he come? To reveal the light to us. to shine that light in a dark place, so that we can have life, so that we can live, and so that we can live more abundantly.
Amen.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Oh, Jesus Christ came to this world, a bright, shining light. But precious few recognized him for who he is. Most of the Pharisees, most of the priests, the chief priests, the Sadducees, the scribes, even though they should have known better because they knew all the prophecies, they had the words of the Old Testament books memorized, they should have known, they should have recognized the Messiah when he came, but they didn't because there was so much darkness in their hearts. Their hearts were closed off, and they could not perceive the Savior standing before them. Verse 6 tells us there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Of course, John had an important mission too, to bear witness of the light, to prepare the way for the coming Messiah, to point people in the direction of the Savior. To proclaim, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That's what John the Baptist came to do. And he did it. Verse 7, "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." People may not even realize it, but it is God who makes us alive. It is God who created us. It is God who gave us a heart that beats. It is God who gave us blood that flows. It is God who put breath within us. He makes us physically alive, but more importantly, he can make us spiritually alive too. Verse 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." There were many people who refused to follow Jesus. There were many people who refused to believe his words. But thankfully, that was not everyone. There were some who believed. In fact, verse 12 tells us, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Do you believe on his name today? If you do, you can be a son or a daughter of God. Right now. Verse 13, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh." Remember what I told you? This chapter was going to make it very clear that the Word was referring to Jesus Christ. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Yes, he came to reveal that light to us. What does that light do? That light makes us aware of our sins so that we can repent of our sins, so that we can come to the realization that, yes, we need a Savior. Yes, we need to be cleansed. Oh, it's very important that we have that light working in us. No one will ever come to the Lord in repentance without that light. Verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Yes, that light, it reveals to us the truth. The truth is so important, and you will only find the truth in Jesus Christ. Verse 18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." What does this verse mean? Well, to really understand it, we need to go to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. It says, "No man hath seen God at any time." That's because Jesus Christ came as the light, and he also came as the image of the invisible God. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, which fits like a hand in a glove with what we were just reading in John chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 1 this morning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, even the tone of this epistle is different from some of the other epistles. He had some harsh words for the Galatians. He had some harsh words for the church at Corinth. But here he is expressing his admiration for the church at Colossae. Verse 3, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." And that's good, because we are supposed to pray without ceasing, and we are supposed to lift up our brothers and sisters in prayer. And I tell you what, there are a lot of prayer needs. Verse 4, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth." When God shines that light on us, when God shines that light in us, and that truth is revealed to us, his grace is also revealed to us. And we do have hope in him. We have a hope laid up in heaven. We have treasures in heaven. We have eternity waiting for us in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 7, "As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And of course, this is wonderful. We should pray that God would reveal his will to us, because he does have a will. He does have a plan for his people. He does have a special purpose for each and every one of us. Verse 10, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And if you want to increase in the knowledge of God, read this book. Read it some more, and then read it some more after that. Because that is how we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of God. And as you read the scriptures with an open heart. The Spirit of God working in you will interact with your spirit, and your knowledge of God will grow. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Notice this here. Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Saints, God's people in this world right now. You don't have to die first to become a saint. You need to be a saint right now. But your inheritance that you have is revealed by the light of God. And yes, you have an inheritance. An amazing inheritance waiting for you. And right now we have the earnest of our inheritance, the down payment on our inheritance. And you know what that earnest of our inheritance is? It is the Spirit of God. It is the Holy Ghost that works in us. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Yes, Jesus Christ came to deliver us from darkness by shining the light on the world. Not everyone could see it, not everyone could perceive it, but thank God for those who did. That is why we are here today, because Jesus came to show us the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. We have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. We are translated into that kingdom of Jesus Christ. We are in that kingdom of Jesus Christ right now. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, we feel so insignificant in this world. There's 8 billion people in this world, and we're just a small planet amongst a vast universe. We might feel small and unimportant and of little value, but you do have value, and the reason you have value is because the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your heart, and that blood is precious and priceless. And when that blood is applied to you, you have worth. You have a purpose. You have a mission. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Remember when it said in John chapter 1, no man hath seen God at any time? That's because you have to go to Jesus Christ if you want to see God, because he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Why are we here? What's holding us together? What put this planet in the exact spot where it needs to be? What made gravity to hold us down so we don't go flying off into the atmosphere? That is the power of Jesus Christ. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is what holds us together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ is supposed to have the preeminence in your life. He is supposed to be the most important thing in your life. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Yes, Jesus Christ came to reconcile. That's why his blood was shed. That's why his blood was shed, so that we could be reconciled to God. Verse 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. It's quite a thought. Each and every one of us, all 8 billion people alive today, one day are going to stand before the throne of Jesus Christ, and we are all going to bow down before him. But oh, what a thought it is that when we do this, because that precious blood of Christ has been applied to us, because our sins have been covered and washed away, we will be presented to our Savior as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Unblameable, unreprovable. Not because of any good that we were able to come up with on our own, but because the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ was applied to us when the blood was applied to us. Verse 23, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. You know, Paul had to suffer a lot. He went through a lot of trials, far more than we could ever imagine. And yet, in his mind, it was worth it all, because he went through all of that so that the church could be strengthened. He did what he did because God had put that mission within him. He had laid that mission in his heart, and he knew he needed to go. And he preached at first to Jewish people, but then he also preached to the Gentiles and became a special minister to the Gentiles. And as he went out and preached the gospel spread far and wide. In fact, he was accused of turning the world upside down. In his mind, that was worth some suffering. That was worth being whipped and beaten and stoned. He did what he did so that others would hear of the Lord Jesus and turn to the Lord Jesus. Because the Apostle Paul understood something very important, and that is, without Jesus Christ, we have no hope. We have no hope in this world. And he wanted people to know and experience the hope that he had. We should want that too. Verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. There was a mystery revealed. After Jesus came, after he went to the cross, after he died on that cross, after he was put in that tomb, after he was buried and rose again after 3 days and 3 nights, there was a mystery that was revealed to God's people. What was it? Well, let's see. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, this is the mystery that was revealed, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, that mystery that was revealed is God's Spirit working in us, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is that really? That's the light. The Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. But look at Matthew chapter 5 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 5 for just a couple of verses. Of course, this was part of his amazing Sermon on the Mount. There's so much in here, but I just want you to focus on a couple of verses in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 tells us, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Remember when I told you, you have a special mission in this world? You know what your special mission is? Your special mission is to be a light in the world. Jesus Christ, the ultimate light of the world, shares his light with us when we have his Spirit working in us and we reflect his light. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Yes, that is our mission. That is why we are important. We may feel small and insignificant in this world, but that light that is in you, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, is very important. That light is so needful. As children of the light, our job is to carry the light, to spread the light, and to share the light. Without that light, people are in a hopeless state. In fact, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to start with verse 1, which tells us, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Notice here, I want you to notice something in verse 1. It says, seeing we have this ministry. Paul was not just talking about himself. He was talking about every Christian. You have a ministry. You have a mission, and that mission is to be a shining light. That light is what brings significance to our lives. That light is what makes you in this world important. Verse 3 tells us, "But if our gospel be hid, It is hid to them that are lost. When you spread the light, when you let your light shine, it also spreads the gospel. And that is so necessary and needful in this world, because there is an adversary in this world that has blinded the minds of so many people. Verse 4 tells us, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We see it again that Jesus Christ is the image of God. But we also see here that there is a so-called God, a false God, a God with a little g, in verse 4. And it's talking about the devil, who some revere as God, perhaps unknowingly. But the adversary has blinded the minds of the people. You know, when Moses was alive, there were 10 plagues that were poured out upon the Egyptians in judgment for their wickedness. And one of those plagues was a darkness so thick it could be felt. Today, we are living in a period of time when there is such spiritual darkness. It is so thick. It is so heavy that it can be felt. And the only thing that is going to pierce that darkness is the light of Jesus Christ. And that is why it is so important that we have the light of Jesus Christ shining in us as brightly as possible. Listen, this is a lost world. This is a world that is filled with confusion. This is a world where you have young people who are depressed and hopeless. They feel like they have no future. They feel like the American dream is dead. And they, a lot of times, they don't even know what gender they are. Or they think they're no gender at all. It is confusion out there. It is darkness out there. And we have an enemy that has gone forth trying to captivate the young people. He's used many tactics to do that. You know, a lot of adults today grew up as children reading the Harry Potter books. And those books were highly influential on their lives. In fact, some people are so obsessed with Harry Potter that they consider it sacred text. Sacred text. And of course, they're trying to get all their children to read it too. But you'll notice something. Witchcraft has absolutely exploded in this country. I remember I went to Target in Sun Prairie, I think it was last year now, and I was browsing their book section, which isn't very big to begin with, but I couldn't believe it. In their book section at Target, they had one witchcraft book after another, after another, after another. I felt like I was in an occult bookstore, but I was in Target. And they don't have a lot of books in total, but they had a lot of witchcraft books. A huge percentage of everything they had was all witchcraft books geared towards witchcraft. You know what witchcraft is? It's darkness. Yeah. There is an enemy that has blinded the minds of the people. So they're embracing this. They want to feel something spiritual. Yeah. But it is spiritual darkness. Remember, not all spirituality is a good thing. You got to watch out sometimes. People, one of the things they like to say is, well, I'm spiritual but not religious. Well, that could mean anything.
Yeah.
But we see there is an enemy who has blinded the minds of the people. That's why it is your mission. That is why it is my mission. That is why it is the mission of every Christian to be a bright and shining light. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to show us the way. He came to show us the light. He came to reveal the knowledge of the glory of God. We couldn't come to God without Jesus Christ. If you want to know God, you must come to Jesus Christ, because he is the mediator between God and man. And one fine day, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. The same God who in the very beginning, think about it, in Scripture, the very first thing that God ever said was, "Let there be light." And you know what brought light to the world? Let me show you something in Genesis chapter 1. What brought light to the world? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 tells us, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It was void. It was dark. But then the Spirit of God brought light. It was the Spirit of God that brought light, because in the very next word it says, in the next verse it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. It was the Spirit of God working that brought light to the universe, and it is the Spirit of God today that brings light to our hearts. Just as he spoke those words, let there be light, and that light shined out of darkness, so too he has shined his light in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is your mission in life to be a shining light in this world. And it is an important mission. It is one that has been carried on since the days of John the Baptist, since the time Jesus came, since the day John the Baptist proclaimed, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And Andrew heard it, went and told Peter, and God called those 12 disciples. And then 70 more were called, and then more were called, and then thousands came to him in repentance in the book of Acts. And the word spread because the light spread. That is how important it is to spread the light, because if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Without the gospel, without that good news, they have no chance. You might wonder, well, how can I be a shining light in this world? There are so many ways that you can be a shining light. Being a shining light can be as simple as an act of kindness or an encouraging word. It can be as simple as helping someone in need. It can even be as simple as a smile. Did you know that? When you smile, the light of God can shine through you. And people might look at that and wonder what you're smiling about, what you're so happy about, and that just might give you an opportunity to tell them why. Because We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that light is shining through us and in us. That light is working in us. That light shined in a dark place, and Jesus Christ, our God, is working in our hearts. So yes, you have an important mission. We all do. A mission that has continued for the last 2,000 years and will continue until our Savior returns. Because we know that even though it seems like the harvests are getting a little smaller, there's still a harvest. And there will be. There will always be a remnant. The scriptures assure us that there will be those who are alive and remain when our Lord comes back. And I find great encouragement in that. So yes, that light must continue to shine, and it is our job to let our light shine in this lost and dark world. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this morning. Thank thee for thy goodness. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast revealed thy light to us, and we thank thee, Lord, that we can be shining lights in this lost world. We thank thee, Lord, that our light can shine through the darkness, and we pray, Lord, that our lights would shine even brighter as this world continually grows darker. We pray, Lord, that thy Spirit would be working in each and every person who is here in this building and those who are listening online. Help us to go forth to share the good news, to share the gospel. We pray, Lord, that thou would strengthen us with might from above and inspire us to always follow thee, to be obedient to the prompting of thy Spirit, and help us, O God, to fulfill our mission in life, for we know how important it is that our light shines forth. We pray for thy blessing to be upon all thy people who are here, those who are listening online, and all of thy people scattered throughout this world. Help us, O God, and strengthen us in these days to come, for we need thee so very much. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. And we are going to sing a chorus in closing. Number 156 in the chorus book, If We Walk in the Light, number 156. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. In the light as he is in the light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in in the light. Praise the Lord, Lord God. You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.